In translation.
That's correct.
Yes. Now, who is your authority for the authenticity of the Lieber, so-called Lieber manuscript? Arthur E. Overbury, what did he write on Lieber?
I'll quote what I said on it.
I know, so, but what did Arthur...
May I write? May I quote? You asked me for an answer. I've got to give it to you. All right? According to the findings of Arthur E. Overbury, who is an authority on Dr. Lieber's writings, and if you check with Princeton University, and if you check with Dr. Walter Haushalder...
I have checked with Princeton.
All right. If you have, then you will...
They do not know of that gathering.
Then you will know this now. You will know this also. Princeton doesn't know of what?
Of that gathering, 19...
Princeton Seminary... Just a minute. Princeton Seminary... I've been there. I check with them. Princeton Seminary received in their vaults the Lieber document from Dr. Haushalder, and it was certified by five scholars on Lieber.
Johns Hopkins University Group. They do not certify the Johns Hopkins University Group. They do not know about it. I wrote to them.
In 1940... And Dr. Haushalder, who is an authority on this subject, has documented in his book, Mrs. Eddy, Purloins from Hegel, a special research committee of Johns Hopkins University in 1940 now.
Yeah.
This is 26 years ago.
Right, and I wrote to Johns Hopkins about that, and they don't know anything about it.
I don't care. It's 26 years ago, and Dr. Haushalder has documented it.
What has Arthur E. Overbury written
on
Francis Lieber?
May I finish? Who is, in 1940, pronounced the Lieber-Hegel document, quote, unimpeachably authentic, close quote. The Lieber document is above challenge for one very important reason, that the Lieber document, reposing in the vault of Princeton, proves beyond a question of a doubt in parallel columns with Mary Baker Eddy's writings that she purloined from the document 33 pages verbatim and 100 pages in substance into Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures.
Yes, now you are repeating. I want that heard
on the air. I'm quoting Dr. Haushalder.
Yes, I want this heard on the air.
That's right.
Now, Arthur E. Overbury is not even listed once in all the literature on Francis Lieber. There are 130 separate headings in the 42nd Street Library, books by and about Francis Lieber. There is nothing there, not one word by Arthur E. Overbury, and I would like you to tell me what he wrote on Lieber that makes him an authority. I have your statement that he is an authority. I would like to...
No, you don't have my statement. You have the statement of Dr. Walter Haushalder, who wrote in his book, Mrs. Eddy, Purloins from Hegel, that Arthur Overbury and a committee from Johns Hopkins investigated this and pronounced the document authentic.
Yeah,
now, that is what you have. You do not have Walter Martin. You have an authority on Christian
science. I still do not have Arthur E. Overbury or
you
one word that he wrote.
You have to consult Dr. Haushalder, not me.
Yes, now, okay, we'll do
it's
that.
His
now,
you know the
Doctor,
name of the book?
Now, you're being unfair to Stuart.
Because now,
Stuart
there is a leading authority. There is a leading authority in the 20th century on Francis Lieber. Do you know who he is?
No, I don't know who all the authorities on Lieber are.
There is one in particular, because he wrote the only monumental biography of Lieber, Francis Lieber.
Yes.
He is the authority. His name is Frank Friedel. He wrote Francis Lieber, 19th Century Liberal, and this is put out by the Louisiana State University Press, page 420.
Yes.
This
when did he
manuscript...
die? When did he die?
I don't know that he is dead. The book was written in 1949.
The book was written in 1949?
Wait a minute. Yes. 1949, which is later.
1949.
Yes. In other words...
May I ask you a question?
He had access to this same manuscript.
He did not see the Lieber document.
He did.
He did.
He did.
And he says that the Lieber document is not authentic. Is that right?
Do you want to hear what he said?
I'd love to hear it.
The present writer has examined the photostats of the manuscript.
Photostats.
Right?
Photostats.
Photostats, surely.
Right.
The verbatim and the handwriting
just
is the same in photostats.
Just a moment. No court of law accepts a photostat for validation of documents. You know that.
Wait a minute. This man is the authority, the leading authority in the 20th century.
I wouldn't care if he was Lieber.
You said you wanted to hear what he had to say.
Not if he's going to be
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And then I'll give you the catalog, the cataloger and custodian of the Lieber manuscripts.
Go ahead.
Okay. First one is Frank Friedel. The present writer has examined the photostats of the manuscript of Johns Hopkins University. In many essential ways, the handwriting seems to differ from that of Lieber. The hand of the manuscript and of the alleged endorsement by Mary Baker Eddy bear a marked resemblance. Among the many thousands of Lieber's letters examined by the present writer, not one was to or from or mentioned Hiram Crafts.
That isn't the point.
Wait
the
a minute.
The point is, you quoted
wait,
there.
Wait, I haven't finished.
They were similar.
I haven't finished. The phrasing and concepts of the letter and essay are not characteristic of Lieber. Consequently, the authenticity of the document seems open to serious doubt, and it has not been used in this account of Lieber.
Wait a minute. We won't go from there. We're going
to
stop right there.
Yeah, we're going to stop right here, but we're also going on after we stop.
Fine. That is a magnificent statement which says absolutely nothing.
But you're
just a minute. Just a moment.
You've mentioned a name, and you can't even mention one thing that he has written on Lieber.
Just a moment. Let me get back to the facts. What you have said there proves only one thing.
Oh, I have a lot more.
Said there proves only one thing.
I have a great deal more.
If you let me finish.
Right.
What you said proves only one thing. He saw photostats which are not evidence. Point number two.
Photostats are evidence as to handwriting.
Not in a courtroom.
Yes.
No, sir. Not in a courtroom.
Yes.
Now, look,
I
know this is a fact, and my friend Ken Negan were here, he would be the first to tell you, you present a photostat for validation of handwriting in a courtroom, they'll throw it out.
Wait a minute. Now.
That's true. Let me finish.
I think you should.
You've got to let me finish. I'm attacking the validity
Reverend Martin
of that.
An opportunity.
I'm attacking.
He may
attacking.
Be making a fool of himself, but let him continue.
John, if you said something nice, you'd disappoint me.
Please,
the
Reverend
fact
Martin.
Still remains that he did not look at the Lieber document in the vault at Princeton.
How do you know he didn't?
Because he says he saw the photostats.
That's right.
They're not photostats, they're original documents.
Mm-hmm.
The original documents have been certified by handwriting experts as valid.
Oh, yes. Well, I was just pointed out that you use photostatic copies of the manuscript. You have.
I didn't use any photostats. Wait a minute. That's not true.
Yes, it says so here.
Not
you have
true.
Something of Mrs. Eddy in photostat.
Go ahead.
You say photostatic copies of the manuscript are also in the possession of the author if verification is desired.
So Go ahead. Wait a second. Go ahead.
Okay.
Right
now, just a second. Now, wait a minute.
Just a second. Verification of a document.
Mm-hmm.
So far as a photostat is concerned.
But you consider it important.
Just a minute.
To put there.
Now, just a minute. I've got to prove this point.
Mm-hmm.
You think that you're disproving what I said, but you're not.
Finished. Yeah,
you're not.
Finished.
Disprove, you're not, and neither is Partridge who gave it to you. For one reason. For one reason. Well, look, if we're interested in evidence, let's hear evidence.
Evidence.
No, wait.
Evidence.
We don't want evidence. You want to make fun of it.
I love evidence.
No,
we're
not.
John didn't treat Bishop Pike that way. In fact, the way John interviewed Bishop Pike, I understand, it would be like interviewing Adolf Hitler and not asking him about what happened to the Jews. You should have asked him real hard questions on certain points.
Well, I have some hard ones.
And John should have asked some hard questions on points. You should let me ask
hard
questions.
If you're critical of my interview with Bishop Pike, I will accept your criticism. I must say that he was a delight, and because of his tremendous knowledge of the subject we were discussing, I realized that it would be best for me to sit and listen and acquire additional knowledge. Speaking with you, Reverend Martin, I realize that your knowledge is extremely limited in this area because I've read your book. Did you want to continue?
Here comes the knife.
Now,
the point I'm bringing out is this. When I quoted photostats for verification, I intended in the context to prove that it was perfectly possible to get the originals, and you can get the originals.
Mm-hmm.
Any photostat that I have of Mary Baker Eddy or anything connected with the cults or anything else, I photostat from the primary sources because you can't get the sources out of the libraries, and you know this. But if I were going to prove something that was said absolutely as evidence, I would have to produce the original document.
Well, did you produce the original Francis Lieber document when you attacked Mrs. Eddy in regard to it?
Dr. Householder did.
Ah, Dr. Householder did. Okay. Dr. Householder was so concerned. Listen to this. Is he still living, by the way?
I
hope
know.
So. I certainly
know.
Hope so. William Householder was so concerned. Walter Householder was so concerned about this same manuscript at a later date in 1948 and 1949 that he wrote to the custodian and cataloger of the Lieber papers at the Henry E. Huntington Library, San Marino, California. Now, this was the reply that he received. He received this reply from the leading place where nearly all the manuscripts of Lieber were, and the custodian was an authority on the handwriting of Francis Lieber. Now, this is what she wrote. He wrote to her. He thought that her opinion would be of some value. So here it is, for what it is worth, to you. We have no letter either to or from Hiram Crafts in the library, nor mention of him in Lieber's correspondence of 2,550 letters. The style and phrasing of this letter and document are not Francis Lieber. The ideology of the lecture is not Lieber, and the handwriting is not Lieber's.
That's very interesting. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
You know why this is very interesting?
Mm-hmm.
because a team of 5 handwriting experts went into the vault of Princeton University with Dr. Haushalter, 4 of them and Dr. Haushalter, and they examined the documents, and these handwriting experts said it was Lieber's handwriting.
Who is Dr. Haushalter?
Yeah, do you know the name of the authorities? He's an authorities on handwriting?
He's an Episcopal clergyman who lives in Philadelphia and who did a tremendous research job after discovering this manuscript in the handwriting of Francis Lieber, which paralleled Mary Baker Eddy.
Is he a handwriting expert?
No, he took 4 with him.
In fact, Mary Baker Eddy did not sign herself Mary Baker at that time in 1866.
I didn't say she
was
did.
Mary. Oh, but according to the manuscript, she did. That the hand
she could sign her name any number of ways. She signed
she
it Mary Baker G. Eddy. She signed
right,
it Mary
but,
Baker
but
Glover.
She didn't sign it Mary Baker when she was Mary Patterson. She saw all the time, all the from between
when
1860 in the 18.
She divorced Patterson before 1875.
Yes, that's right.
She
and this manuscript, you know, when this manuscript, what the date of this manuscript is?
What is it?
1865 and 1866. And at that time, and in all her letters of that time, in all her writings of that time, she signed herself Mary Patterson.
Just a second.
Not
who
only
validated
that,
the date of the document.
The date of the document is, according to Haushalter, and he's your authority, 1865 and 1866. Now, a curious thing, this manuscript was supposedly written in 1865. Now, in that same manuscript, you know, there's an accompanying letter, what they call a covering letter. The Francis Lieber, inverted commas, says that Fallon wanted this manuscript and one or two others to go to Berlin, which it was going to be sent there to Berlin to be published. Now, it is written in 1865.
Mm-hmm.
The author of this forgery did not know.
Oh, wait
that,
a minute.
Wait a minute.
That's an opinion.
All right. Put it forgery in. You can have it as inverted
commas. Handwriting is Francis Lieber, and no one ever examined the
Lieber.
Documents said differently.
Oh, yes. Listen to this. As
go
for
ahead.
This is by Ordeal by Concordance by Conrad Henry Mailman. Yes. One further remark may now be added to this serious study in which we've been engaged. After this material was in galley proofs and too late for extended comment, it came to our attention that the full reports on the handwriting of the Lieber documents, inverted commas, made by Albert S. Osborne and Elbridge W. Stein had just been deposited with the original materials in the library of the Princeton Theological Seminary. In the 30s and 40s and up to the 50s,
would you stop
they were
there?
Among the leading authorities in handwriting. They worked for the government.
Mm-hmm.
They were called in court cases and so on. With
would you stop right there?
Yeah.
Osborne and Stein, according to Chief Justice Potter Stewart of the United States Court, turned in one of the most false reports on handwriting analysis in the Black Tom's explosion of anything he had ever seen, and from the bench he castigated them as dishonest men. Their testimony is worth nothing.
All right, I'll let that go. I have so
You'll
much
have
other
to
evidence.
Let it go.
Wait, no, that's okay. I won't let it go. As a matter of fact, but I mean, for your sake, I'll let it go. I have so much more here.
I've got the transcript.
Yeah, okay.
Those men are worthless as authorities.
Yeah, okay. Now, Lieber, you've read this manuscript, haven't you?
The Lieber document, oh yes.
Yes. What is the opinion of Lieber? You say he's authentic. What is his opinion of Hegel in this document? What does he think of Hegel?
Well, I can't reproduce for you at this moment the entire Hegel.
Well, I'll tell you.
The
he raves
Lieber
about
document.
Him. This is a pan-German document. He raves about him as the topmost philosopher in the world, superior, far superior to Kant. Nobody like him. Throughout Lieber's life, there are statements that he made about Hegel. All through his life, they were consistently maligning Hegel, in the sense that he had no use for him, complete disregard. Now, here are the actual passages. Here's from the Lieber document. His demonstration of immortality, quote, places Hegel in the forefront of the world of thinkers of all time.
What does this prove?
Wait a minute.
It proves nothing.
You haven't heard what it's going
you're
to
trying
prove.
To prove.
You have not heard
you're
a word
trying
yet.
To prove from the manuscript.
I know you don't want to hear this.
I don't want to hear it for one reason.
Yes,
I've read this material, and there's
no,
one
you,
thing.
This, you haven't read.
There's one thing wrong with
Hegel
it.
Hegel was a garrulous. This is in quote. Oh, this is the real Lieber. Hegel was a garrulous.
Wait a minute. That's
German
an assumption.
Professor.
That's an assumption.
This isn't
Mary Baker Eddy was
excuse
a
me.
Mary Baker Eddy was a
this
plagiarist.
This is not an assumption. This is an assumption of the real Lieber.
Mary
this,
Baker Eddy was a plagiarist.
This was from Lieber. This is from the real Lieber. He was a garrulous German professor who regarded himself as half national hero, half moral scientist. Sure, it's an assumption, but it's Lieber's. It's the real Lieber's
just a
assumption.
Just a moment. Let's bring one point in here. If I can show, this is the premise, Mr. Partridge, if I can show that none of the people you're talking about examined the document itself, that none of the handwriting
but
experts...
But you haven't examined
just
it.
A moment. That none of the handwriting experts you are quoting examined the document itself. And if I can show that a group of handwriting experts did examine the document and found it to be unimpeachably authentic and the handwriting of Francis Lieber, then every argument you've advanced disappears in the dust.
Would you be willing
to
make this a court case?
I can prove it.
Would you be willing to make this a court case?
I will be willing, right now, on tape, I will be willing to prove, in a courtroom or anywhere else...
You won't do it.
One... that Mary Baker Eddy was a plagiarist.
Stick to Lieber.
Two.
Because I'll take up Quimby or any
two,
of the others, but not until we finish with this.
Two. That the document in the vault of Princeton has been validated by handwriting experts who have seen the document, not photostats.
Do you know the names of the handwriting experts?
I do.
Who are they?
I'm going to save it for you, Buster, in the courtroom.
Okay.
Pierre
Quallet
is one.
Very good. Okay.
Now.
Very good.
I will prove this, and I will prove something else. I quote it in my book. Mary Baker Eddy had a history of plagiarism, and I wish to quote some of her plagiarism.
Wait a minute.
I don't want to change the subject.
If you will let me finish this.
I deny the evidence because none of them
you
saw the documents.
You are not denying. This is not a question of handwriting that I'm talking about now, so you can't deny this.
None of...
These are statements
John,
from
can
Lieber.
Make a point?
In just a moment, please,
okay.
Reverend, permit Mr. Robinson.
I can't. He doesn't give me a chance to say anything.
Oh, come on.
Say anything. You don't want to hear what I have to say here.
Because it's
and this
not
is
valid.
Not the handwriting. This is the content. The content is very important, and the handwriting is important to you because you refer to it, Mrs. You have something of Mrs. Eddy.
If the handwriting's Lieber's, I'm right and you're wrong.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
The handwriting expert.
Yeah, and the custodian of the Lieber document says it's a phony.
Lieber.
Yeah, and the custodian of the Lieber document says it's a
have
phony.
Have they seen the documents?
They have not. Oh, the one in California?
They have not.
You're not
been
so sure
to the
of that.
Vault, if I am, they have not been to the vault.
Oh, I see.
And seen it.
You mean that the handwriting, the photostat copies might not be the same?
I think that from a photostat, you cannot determine the validity of handwriting, and no court will accept
it. Oh, it's being done all the time.
I think you're wrong.
No, you are wrong.
Let me just say this to you, so you might have acquire this knowledge. You might make a note for future
well,
reference.
Well, I would like to be able to prove it. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. While
may
we're talking,
I tell you? No,
I'm going to have
I'm
a check
talking.
With the lawyer, so we'll know.
Well, I'm talking. Pearl Teitel, who is considered to be one of the experts on handwriting today, she is with Teitel, the man who was able to build a typewriter identical to the one allegedly used in the Hiss case, where they said no one, you know, there's no two typewriters that would be identical. Well, Mrs. Teitel is the wife of Mr. Teitel, and she is... I'm not talking about a graphologist now. I'm talking about a handwriting expert. And she will tell you that many times they will use a photostat. And it is acceptable in certain cases. Now, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say in every case, and maybe in the case you're referring to, Reverend Martin, it may not be acceptable.
It is
I
not.
Do
You're
not
12 crowded
no.
pages.
I beg your pardon?
12 crowded pages of manuscript.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to go out and say that.
We'll know in about 15 minutes from a lawyer whether it's authentic.
Now, Reverend Martin. The fact that a lawyer doesn't impress me one bit. Why do lawyers go into court to have decisions made?
Just a minute. If a
lawyer
tells you that a statute says, you're in no position to doubt it.
Now, wait a moment. Wait a moment. The Supreme Court just handed down a decision on Ralph Ginsburg, and a lot of people are wondering what those fellas were doing there, at least five of them, what they were doing.
I've been wondering what he's been doing out of jail for all these years.
Oh, you're putting me on.
With that pornography and filthy circulates.
You're putting me on.
I'm not
on.
Putting you on at the step.
Let me hold it a moment. Let's do that for a while. You fellas want to leave and have something to eat?
If we ever get to my book,
well,
it'll be a miracle.
That. Hold it a moment. Help me.
This is your book.
Wait
a moment.
Your
book.
Shh. Gentlemen, let me just ask you this simple question, Reverend Martin.
Yes.
Are you an authority on pornography?
No.
Then how would you recognize pornography if you would see it?
Yes.
Based on what experience, sir?
I would base it upon the experience of a biblical criterion of filth.
I see. In other words, there's some place in the Bible that describes...
Please,
wait a minute. Is there some place in the Bible that describes pornography?
Yes.
There is?
Yes.
Would you be kind enough to call my attention to it so I, too, would have the same knowledge that you have?
The first chapter of Romans describes homosexuality, fornication, and adultery as evil, filthy, blasphemous, and abominable in the sight of God. I therefore consider it to be pornographic.
I have never read that in the Bible, and I've never read the Bible for that matter.
You are at a distinct disadvantage.
I've tried to keep away
John,
from
may
it.
I say something?
Well, pardon me,
no, in regard to this subject. It's
are
the,
you
the
an
same
expert
thing.
In pornography?
No, but that isn't the point. Excuse
Martin
me.
Martin claimed to be an expert, though.
No.
I did not.
Oh, you're not?
I didn't.
Well, then you wouldn't recognize
I
it.
I said I had a biblical criterion.
I see. Well, let me ask you this.
The Bible for me is the highest criterion.
Hold it. Just let me ask you this. Have you ever seen any of the things published by Mr. Ginsburg?
Yes, I have, unfortunately.
What have you seen published by him?
I've seen his magazine, Fact, where
God, don't tell me that's pornography.
Well, the article on Abraham Lincoln was absurd.
Oh, well, come on. No, please, don't act as a critic. In other words,
I'm entitled to an opinion. Are you going to take that away from me?
Incidentally, that was not the decision that was handed down. In Philadelphia, Eris. Have you seen all the editions of Eris?
Not all, but I've seen some of them.
I see. What were you looking for, Reverend?
Well, I am.
You're a student of pornography, and you wanted to know more about it.
No, but I believe in keeping abreast of filth because it's contaminating the minds of young people.
Keeping abreast of it.
Right.
I wonder if we might go to our announcer and get the call letters of the station first.
Play Fortune Phone daily at 10 past 10 here on The Conversation Station, WNBC, AM and FM, New York.
And now,
John,
back with our guests of the morning, the Reverend Walter Martin, Reverend Robert Schrock, Steward Rob, Will Ausler, and Ornest Partridge. You know, I'd like to say this to you, Reverend Martin. You've put me into a rather difficult position to debate with you the merits of the publications, Eris, and some of the books other than Fact. The Fact, I think I enjoy as much expertise as you do because I've read many of them. I've used them for program source. But Eris, I have not seen the editions that you have seen. I'm not an authority on it. So I sit here with my bare face hanging out and I can't debate it because I must accept it. If you have looked at them, researched them and read them, you would certainly be in a much better position to say to me that the contents were pornographic. So I must bow out of this discussion. It's beyond
John.
Me. I am unaware of it. Now hold it. No, you haven't been. Just relax there. I think Reverend Schrock would like to say
a point
something.
Of clarification, and I am not at this point putting myself in Ginsburg's camp. I haven't seen Eros. And I don't intend to particularly. But I would like to... I think I am correct in this observation that in the Supreme Court decision, there was this stated, that if the work had been judged on the basis on which most of these suits are brought before the court, on the basis of its internal evidence, it would not have been judged pornographic. The matter that made it so was not the publication itself, but the means by which it was advertised, in which it was stated that it was
titillating, wasn't it?
Titillating,
did it
erotic,
titillate you,
and,
Reverend Martin,
and so forth.
Huh?
In
did
other
it
words,
titillate you?
It disgusted me.
In other words, this
there
man,
the internal
evidence of the publication itself, which I have not seen, but according to the court, was that if it had been presented simply on the basis of its own being, it would have not been adjudged pornographic, but because of the way it happened to be sold to or promoted to the public, it therefore was. Now, I think that it needs to be stated in all truth that this is the case. That whatever the decision of the court is, this is what Mr. Ginsburg is going to have to go with.
Yes.
But I think that it's only fair to make this statement about it.
May I just ask you this, though, Reverend Martin? The Kingdom of the Cults, do you think this is a good book?
I think that...
You wrote it, I mean.
I think it's a sound book. I think the documentation will stand up.
Mm-hmm. I don't consider myself to be the Ernest Hemingway of the field or in a class.
Do you think everybody should read your book?
Or his father?
Do you think everybody should read this book?
Can I finish the statement?
Oh, you want to give me a credit? I wrote
a
book, too.
In that sense, I think it would be a good book for the purpose of comparative religious analysis in this category.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to be backed into the position of trying to declare myself as
Do you recommend the book?
I recommend the book, yes.
I see.
To students of comparative religion who want to know what's going on.
You would not say that I would be wasting my time if I read the book, would you?
You would.
I would.
You would, yes.
I see.
Because you have a basic premise which the Scripture describes. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to them who are lost and whom the God of this age
has blinded
their minds.
Save me. This wouldn't
save me. No, if you won't accept Jesus Christ, you're not going to accept what I write.
Did I deny Jesus Christ?
Certainly.
When?
On at least three tapes I've got, you have categorically denied him as the Savior of the world.
That's
as
right.
The one who rose from the dead and
right,
the one
sir.
Who died on the cross for your sins.
Not for my sins.
All
I wasn't even alive yet. Please, he wasn't dying already for my
he
sins.
He died for your sins before you were born.
I see. Well, then I have no problems in life, right?
You have
I can
one
keep,
problem.
I can
you
keep sinning
problem.
because in other words,
you have one problem.
What?
You must receive him as your Savior.
I see.
If you don't, then the Scripture says you will go to hell.
Let me just say this to you, Reverend Martin. I think your egotism is so outstanding.
John, you're getting personal.
Well,
let's keep it objective. I don't say you're an egotist, even if I thought so.
Well, I am.
I know that, but
yes.
I wouldn't say it.
I know. We recognize each other.
Yeah.
Let me just say this to you, Reverend Martin. I think when you sit here and determine what I might read, or Professor Partridge, or possibly Will Osler, or Stuart Robb, or the Reverend Schrock.
I'm not determining it.
I think you're wrong.
I said it's pornography, in my opinion.
But you admit that you don't even enjoy any expertise in the field. How much pornography have you studied?
Now, wait a moment.
What is pornography?
May I finish?
Yes, please.
The word pornography comes from the Greek pornos, which is a term for sexual filth. In the Bible, we derive it primarily from the Koine Greek. Now,
you base everything on the Bible? Your whole life?
I previously stated here, just a minute ago when you asked me a question, that from a biblical perspective, it was pornographic. That's all I'm taking a biblical position.
I don't agree with you.
Well, I proved it to you from the Bible, and you said, I don't know the Bible, so we ended the discussion.
No, and I said, I don't even know his books, Eris. But another, why did you bother to study it?
Because the Apostle Paul and the writers of the New Testament quote many times from pagan sources in order to demonstrate the truth of Christianity. So do I.
And so you made a study of pornography, and do you have
Correct.
A collection of it?
No.
John,
I studied the police department's files.
So you go to the police department to look at your pornography
exactly.
when you want
John,
some.
John,
exactly.
I could give you an authoritative report on this, John, but I don't have a pornograph.
John, I would like...
Oh, no.
Partridge is back.
You're being unfair, Stuart.
I would like to make one point. I think this is
a
very important point.
To a man who's an expert on pornography.
There's a lot of people listening who may be homosexuals, and
yes.
I think your comment should be corrected. The Bible does not condemn homosexuals. It doesn't mention them.
It does categorically, sir.
St. Paul.
You want the references? I'd be glad to get it to you.
Not in the reference that you just made, but I would like to
It does, sir.
I would like to say something to you, sir. If the Bible does, it is exactly the kind of thing that I mean. Paul was a human being writing.
Now you're changing. You said if it did. A minute ago you said it didn't.
Well, how do they refer to it? It's homosexual?
Not in the one you spoke to.
May I quote?
Yes.
You want the evidence? Let's go to the evidence itself.
You seem to be delighted after hanging around the police station looking at pornography. Now you dig up all the things
John,
in the Bible.
John, do you have a research staff?
Every guy's got his own stick.
John, do you have a research staff?
Look at this. Research staff?
Yeah.
Not looking up about homosexuals or pornography.
How did you
How
did you discuss with Ginsburg if you didn't know anything about the subject?
Let's discuss what?
When you had, I believe, not you, it was Pine. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Yeah,
Pine discussed it.
Let's hear the quote.
Pine is a genius in these subjects.
Pine in your class, so we'll quit there.
Reverend, let's hear the
Therefore,
quote.
I'll quote you. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, or reptiles. Therefore, God abandoned them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity. to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God abandoned them to dishonorable passions. Their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in their own persons the due penalty for their error. All biblical scholars are agreed that this refers to sexual impurity and homosexuality.
What are you quoting?
Romans chapter 1.
You're quoting Paul.
The Revised and
the Bible. Will,
let's not get into this again. You said the Bible didn't say it.
I didn't say it didn't say it.
Yes, you did. You're on tape.
No, I said it didn't say it in the quote you gave me in Romans.
Oh, come on now.
That's what I said. Anyway,
Ernest, you were listening. What did he say?
Wait a second. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell
don't
you...
Don't tell me anything until he says no, what he said.
No, I'm not going to worry about
it. I know you're not.
All
you're
right,
not concerned with
okay,
facts.
So I made a mistake, so forget it.
Good. Now we got it out.
But
you
I did wrongly, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, I see. You made a mistake, but you didn't.
And gentlemen, it doesn't matter.
Let's show respect for the man whose father wrote the Bible. Go ahead. I'm sorry. No, you just
wait, rewrote it. Leaving that John's remark aside for the moment... Look,
you can't be offended.
No, I can't. It doesn't bother me.
He's a gentleman of restraint.
Look, Walla.
Will Hustler?
I want to say this to you. There are many, many people outside who are listening tonight who may be homosexuals. And one of the things that our Lord had that unfortunately Paul didn't was real human compassion for sinners, that he called them sinners.
Right. I'm sorry that you speak that way, Paul.
I'm sorry, but I do.
I agree.
And I'm going to say it again
naturally,
and again.
You're an atheist.
And another one of these things, Walter, that I want you to listen to.
I'm listening.
Is that Jesus, as a Christian, and if you are a Christian, you have to believe that, said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone, and he meant it about homosexualities and everybody else. If that happens to be a sin. But the doctors and the psychiatrists today say it isn't. They say it is something that happens to human beings, and that if they are different from the rest of the world, it is something that we should try to help them with and not sit around as you do in judgment. And I
Who's
think
judging?
This is one of the things that has made the great necessity of the church and religion come to have a relevancy in our world. I can imagine some poor human being outside who is thinking, as I remember once in college, a kid came down to me and my roommate, and he sat there and he said, you know, I'm different. And I know I'm a homosexual and I don't know what to do about it. And there was nothing at that point that he could do about it. But if you mean to think that I should sit there and say, oh boy, you are a sinner, because you happen to have
you're
this
caricaturing
thing.
The whole thing.
Because
I never said any of this.
Because it is a caricature, Walter.
I never said it.
Because this is a caricature of everything that is Christianity
I
and religion.
I never
what
said it.
What you said is a caricature.
I
you
never
read it to
said
me.
It. I did not.
You read it to me.
I read to you the Word of God.
No, you read to me something.
You don't want to believe it.
No,
what do you mean the Word of God?
It's not the Word of God.
Paul
it's
an apostle of Jesus
it
Christ.
It was collected by a human
Paul.
Being.
I don't understand you, Walter.
I think you do. That's
no,
why you're so excited.
The Word of God.
Well, yes. It is the Word of God in many ways.
The
John.
Bible is God's message to
but
man.
But not every word. Do you believe in the Garden of Eden, Walter?
Yes.
And do you believe there really was a talking snake in it?
No.
Well, how do you decide
what
there
is? Because the text doesn't say that.
Oh, it does?
Or serpent. The text doesn't say serpent.
Oh, how did she eat that apple?
The Hebrew word which is translated serpent came from an old translation into English of the Hebrew Nachash, which does not mean serpent at all. It was translated as serpent because two verses later it says that the animal was cursed and crawled on its stomach. So they assumed it was a serpent and brought it up into the text. But the text does not say
that. Do you actually believe there was a Garden of Eden?
Find some way to wrinkle it up. That's the nice thing about having antecedents.
You know what bothers me about you?
A lot of things.
For a man who knows nothing about the Scripture, you come out with the most amazing statements.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, I would. I've heard you. You don't know anything about it.
I think
for a man who knows as much as you do,
you
come out with amazing statements too, Walter.
No,
everything that I say, I am willing to submit to the authority of Scripture. You're not.
I don't submit to authority. You're
I
right.
Know you
I submit
don't.
To
That's
the authority
your
of God and Jesus, but not
gentlemen,
you or some
I don't think you do. I don't
gentlemen,
think you do.
Pardon me. May
I don't care what you think, old boy.
That's probably true.
Pardon me, Mr. Oslo, if you will, I think we should first just read this telegram, and I think we should give Mr. Partridge, an opportunity to comment, but first I have a telegram. I have argued with Burroughs and his students. Mr. Partridge, give up. Whenever religionists is pinned down, he'll always discredit your reference. Signed, Betty Wood.
Indeed.
Betty Wood, incidentally, was a coordinator for the show for a period of time. And Betty left us last Friday. I don't mean as a listener and as a participant in the show, but she has gone to another firm and is not with us anymore. But a very bright girl, I think it's a good observation.
May I make a comment on the
observation? Yes, surely you may. Sure, you may.
Since it was addressed concerning what I said.
Since it was addressed to me.
Yes, but about what I said.
Yes.
Therefore, I have a right to comment on it. This
incidentally, she's a Baptist.
It wouldn't make a difference to me. Bishop Pike claims to be an Episcopalian, but we've already seen how that isn't true. The point that we're dealing with here is this, and it's an important point. Here's a general statement. Whenever a religionist is pinned down, he'll always discredit your references. Now, anybody who knows anything about logic knows that this is poisoning the well. This is saying, in any condition, whenever you prove something, the other guy's wrong. Now, Partridge knows it as well as I know it. He teaches logic. Therefore, what she has to say is utterly meaningless. It's a generality, and it proves absolutely nothing.
Wait a minute. It proves nothing unless she's making a valid generalization.
I doubt that it's valid. It's an assumption.
It's an assumption, which I think is... I don't think we should say this is always the case, but I found it to be very often the case.
I have found it pretty generally the case that skeptics, atheists, and agnostics have never studied the evidence. They just pronounce shibboleths about it.
No, one need only to hear you perform, Brother Martin, to begin to get the...
Partridge, that's the nicest thing you ever said to me, Brother Martin. At least we have a common ancestor in Adam.
Yes, well, that's...
I would like you to have my common savior, too.
Well, I wonder if I might say a few words. First of all, I've been enjoying much of this harangue that's been going on. I think that's the word for it. Because when the theologians start battling among themselves, throwing scripture at each other, they manage to get each other groggy, which is fine. Because I think this whole notion of taking an ancient book out of antiquity and trying to prove points of such significance on these lost words whose origin is lost in antiquity.
What words?
Which have
what
been,
words?
Would you let me say a few words at long last? Which have been translated, interpreted, reinterpreted. I think the only result can be the sort of thing we've been having here, reading one translation, then another, one commentator, then another, taking one thing literally while another one takes it metaphorically, and so forth and so on. If you don't like the way it says, go to an earlier edition and take a different translation. It's all lost in the maze of ancient linguistics. And as we can well see, and as I think you very nicely documented in your book, that the Bible is one large, fantastic collection of verbal ink blots which are open to a tremendous amount of interpretation according to one's presuppositions. And believe me, I'm not completely ignorant of this sort of thing, since I came out of an Orthodox point of view, which, by the way, we can discuss to some degree, I think.
There is hope.
And all it succeeded to do to me was to make me get weary of the sort of thing we've been hearing tonight. Talk, based upon completely lost and obscure sources. I would rather go to the book of experience, to the book of verification, to the book of proof, which is a book that we can all look at objectively.
Empiricism?
Well, if you like to use your quick labels, fine. But I think
that's
modern.
What you just said.
No, just one minute. I think it's generally
just
agreed.
Just make notes, Reverend Martin.
I think
and
it's
you'll
generally
be able to
agreed
have the knowledge afterwards
among scientific naturalists, or I don't even say scientific naturalists, scientific religionists, as long as they're scientists and not religionists. That science is not pure empiricism.
Mm-hmm.
It is a marriage of empiricism and rationalism.
And assumptions.
Well, all right. Now. I would like to turn to this book that you wrote. I do not feel... I believe that
That's
you...
Wrong.
What's wrong is that...
Would you like to answer?
He sets up a series of things and then goes to my book. Yeah. I want to comment on this.
All right, comment on it, then I would like
First
to
First of all,
it.
Since you are not an authority on linguistics, you do not read either Greek or Hebrew, you have no knowledge of the language of the Bible or of the etymology of biblical words, when you say that these are all translated, interpreted, and lost in antiquity, you are completely in error and you do not know what you're talking about. That's number one.
I accept the first charge. I reject the first charge and accept the second.
You're an expert in Greek and Hebrew antiquity
you
words.
You said the first one that I was not an expert in linguistics. I deny that.
You are not an expert in...
I am an expert in semantics and aspects of linguistics.
Not in Hebrew and Greek. Well, that's what you're dealing with, Hebrew and Greek.
Semantics and linguistics,
yeah.
The Bible is written in Hebrew and Greek.
Then you're not an authority on this, so what you said is meaningless.
That doesn't follow.
Of course it does. If you can't read Hebrew or Greek, how can you be an authority on the antiquity of words in Hebrew and Greek? Tell me how.
I will agree that I have not read the originals, but I have read commentaries on this.
Can you read Hebrew and Greek?
And I do know this, that I hear a tremendous amount of confusion among people who write their... apologetics from Greek and Hebrew sources and other people who write their apologetics from Greek and Hebrew sources.
Let me ask you a question.
I can go to... Go ahead.
The question is this. You have already admitted that you are not an authority on the linguistics of Hebrew and Greek. So when you make a statement that this subject is meaningless, that it's all lost in antiquity and everything like that, you don't know what you're talking about because the subject is written in those languages.
Well, all I'm asking you... All right, I make the statement that these are from antiquity.
And you don't know anything about antiquity in Hebrew and Greek.
All I know is that these are ancient writings.
Put in my mouth words I didn't say.
You certainly did.
I did not.
All right, go ahead. Rephrase it.
You would not be able to go to the Bible and get anything out of it unless you came on God's terms. He that cometh to God must believe that he is.
You're putting me on.
Well, you've got to believe he is or he's not going to reveal himself to you.
Oh, I see. This is like having an orphan Annie secret decoding ring.
You know what it is? One may start as an atheist and read the Bible and become a believer.
Do you know what it is? I see. Well, I tell you what. I haven't got a can of Ovaltine in the house. Otherwise, I'd send the label and get the ring.
Nor do you have faith.
I'm not, wait a moment. In other words, you're telling me that before I read the Bible and before I can understand it, I must have faith. Yes. On its own, it cannot stand up.
Not for you to believe it.
No, wait a minute. It cannot stand up unless I believe it.
Here.
I believe, and this is the biblical testimony.
Forget about you. Me.
You ask me what I believe.
I'm not interested in you, Martin.
You ask me what I believe.
Pardon me.
Martin. John.
I apologize.
All right. Okay.
If I didn't have an arthritic condition, I'd genuflect.
All right. Do that.
Let me just say this.
Just bow toward Bishop Pike. That'll do.
I wouldn't mind. Believe me, I honor that man.
Look, let me get this point across. He that cometh to God must believe
that
he is.
That cometh and all that sort of stuff. Let's hit it right out in the language we use every day.
He that comes to God must believe he is. You won't believe, you can't come.
But in other words, you're saying that Partridge...
I'm saying that Partridge...
Is not in a position to debate this because he doesn't know other languages.
No, because I don't agree with him.
Wait a minute. That's not true, Ernest. You're becoming emotional now, Reverend Martin. No, I'm not.
Your voice, there's a little wavering.
Perhaps I'll just slow down. I can understand.
You're losing.
Ernest Partridge said that these things were all lost in antiquity... That the words meant nothing, that we were all wasting our time arguing about it, and I simply pointed out that since Partridge doesn't know the language in which the scripture was written, he is not in a position to say it's meaningless. That's irrelevant, immaterial, incompetent. Obviously, simply because you don't know the languages.
I want to just say this to you.
You said the Bible. Well, I've got to answer him. You've got to give me that right.
You haven't even answered. You're just going around in a circle.
I am not. You weren't even here when I said it.
I've heard every word that you said.
Then what did I say to Partridge?
You claimed that the man was not in a position to debate this with you because he was not familiar with various language. He's not a linguist.
He said, though, that's, you missed that point.
What did I miss, sir?
You missed what Partridge said. Partridge said...
You told me I missed what you said.
And what Partridge
said. I never miss what Partridge says because I don't go with Partridge at all. I'm a follower.
Partridge said that all these words were lost in antiquity, and I said he's not in a position to determine it because he doesn't know the language.
Right.
That's all I said.
I said.
He said the Bible was full of ink blots.
Would you like to know what's happening in the world right now?